Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week was the final week for candidates to announce that they are running for governor in the recall election. And Republican Larry Elder announced that he's running. The longtime talk show host, well known to many people here in throughout the state of California, a frequent guest on our show as a commentator, but never as a candidate. And now he is going for the biggest job in the state. Why is he? What's his platform like? How does he separate himself from the pack? We talk about all that this week in an extended interview. This version includes stuff that you didn't see on TV. Here is our full conversation with Larry Elder, candidate for governor. Larry Elder joins us now. Larry, welcome back to The Issue Is.
Alex, thank you so much for having me. I want to correct one thing. This is my second time running. I ran for class president in the fifth grade. I beat William Moore. I carried 3 out of 4 roles. They're still cleaning up the blood.
Yeah, I lost my fifth grade election. So good for you. You got me there.
I had a better campaign manager.
Apparently. You have called this state ungovernable. You've said a Republican can't get anything done because there's a Democratic supermajority in Sacramento. You said before you didn't want to run because you didn't think you could do anything if you get there. So what has changed? Why can you now govern it?
Well, you know, when I said about the supermajorities of Democrats in the Senate and the Assembly, they're also there because of the power of the public sector unions. You cannot win in this state without the backing of the public sector unions. And this is why Republicans get crushed all the time. And so one of my agendas, aside from crime that you mentioned, aside from homelessness that you mentioned, the declining quality of schools that you mentioned, and the arrogant way this man has handled the coronavirus pandemic in his entitled smug way, we need to do something about pension reform. There's a book called Plunder written by a guy named Stephen Greenhut that talks about all the people that are retired public sector employees, state and local, that are making gobs and gobs of money, double dipping while working private sector jobs. And until somebody has the courage to begin to talk about the very fact that the public sector unions have this much power, Republicans will never win a damn thing in this state. And I'm the guy that's going to be at least start the conversation.
But how do you actually get something done because of the power of the public sector unions, because of that Democratic supermajority? I mean, if you get in there, aren't they just going to ignore you and try to ride out the time until they can elect a Democrat next November?
Well, I checked recently and I saw that Arnold Schwarzenegger, the last Republican governor, and I put that sort of in quotes because in my opinion, he went so far left, I don't really consider him to be a Republican, but he vetoed hundreds of bills. Not a single one was overridden because once you veto it, you do have the power of the bully pulpit. You can explain to Joe and Joan Sixpack why you're vetoing it. You also have the ability to declare emergencies, as this governor has done many, many times regarding the pandemic. You also have a line item veto, and you also have the ability to appoint people to the commissions that have a lot of power. And maybe I can roll back some of these ridiculous regulations that are stopping people from building homes, which is why we have a housing shortage and why the average price of a home in California, Alex, is 150% more than the average price of a home outside of California and costs about, and costs about 50% more than they otherwise would, but for regulations like CEQA, the California Quality Environmental Act. Right. One of my many, many advisors is a guy named Leo Hanian, a very bright economist from UCLA. And he says the average price of a home in California, literally, as I said, is 50% more than it would be, but for these ridiculous environmental rules and regulations that really treat developers and contractors like felons. Meanwhile, this governor has overseen the release of 20,000 real felons during coronavirus under their early release program, many of whom are going to reoffend, and they're going to victimize the very people that the left claims they care about, a lot of black and brown people living in the inner city. I don't even know where to start with all the things wrong with this state. Homelessness, crime, declining schools. Let me just stop on that real quickly. I went to Crenshaw High School. I graduated in 1970. It wasn't a great school then, but it was okay. Good enough for me to get into an Ivy League school. The reason I know it wasn't a great school is because I was fortunate enough to be bused to a school called Fairfax. And I saw the quality of education. I saw the difference in demands on the students. And that is why that school was so much better than mine. I just picked up the LA Times a few years ago, front page article, Alex. 3% of kids at my former high school were math proficient, and I just checked, now only 2% are math proficient. Now, who the hell sends their kid to a school where only 2% of the kids are math proficient if they have an option out? And one of my big campaign agendas is going to be school choice that the teachers union adamantly opposed to, and this man is totally beholden to the teachers union. They're the largest contributor to his campaign, and it's got to stop.
So if you had to say bottom line why you're running, why are you running?
I've got common sense. I've got good judgment, something sadly lacking in Sacramento. I've been on radio for 30 years. I've been writing columns for 30 years. I'm on radio, or was until I got pulled off after I announced, in every major market from Sacramento down to San Diego. People know me. I've been talking about solutions to these problems of crime and homelessness and the rising cost of living in California. And I think I can make the case so Joe and Joan Sixpack, who've left California and brought their Democrat vote with them, realize why they're leaving. Right. There's a connection between the crime and the left-wing policies, connection between the rising cost of homes and left-wing policies. And I think I can make that case better than almost anybody else can. One more quick thing. My father came to California, Alex, in 1945. He worked two full-time jobs as a janitor, right. Had a wife, my mother, stay-at-home mom, until the youngest of us was in middle school. And he was able to put his nickels and dimes together to buy a house that now is valued at $600,000. Wonderful for me because we still own the house, but horrible for anybody trying to duplicate what my dad did as an eighth grade dropout. A college student couldn't do that. Right. And this is why young people for the first time are leaving California. There's been a net migration out of California for the first time. There's a magazine called CEO Magazine. It's been in existence for 17 years. For each of the 17 years of this existence, California has been determined to be the worst state in which to do business out of all 50. This has got to stop. And I can reverse this by talking about these issues so that the regular people can understand that the connection between the things they're unhappy about and what's going on in Sacramento.
We'll talk more about your dad a little bit later on in this interview. But let's talk about the governor, because he's got a very different reality. Let's talk about the governor. The governor's painting a very different picture than the one that you're painting right now. This week, the governor signed his budget at a campaign-style event. He says California's creating more jobs than any other state, has a better economy than anyone else. Here's some of what he said.
For those that have counted California out, eat your heart out.
He says we've got a record surplus. He's given millions of people $600 checks, paying back rent for many, expanding spending to fight homelessness by billions. Do you see any of that as good? And do you not agree with him that the economy is moving in the right direction in California?
Recently, the former governor of California, Jerry Brown, just gave an interview. And he said the spending is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And he said that the so-called budgetary surplus, to use the word Democrats like to use regarding inflation, is transitory. Based upon the budget projections, we're going to be having a deficit in the next year or two. And he's been saying that that Gavin Newsom has been giving money, as you pointed out, in order to buy votes. He didn't say that. He's been giving money out irresponsibly. I'm saying it's to buy votes in order for him to stave off this recall.
You know, this week, L.A. County announced it is. Let me just expand on that, though, because there are forecasts that show that things are moving in the right direction in California. UCLA saying that we could have the best year that we've seen since World War II. 40% of the jobs created in April were created in California. So, I mean, what do you say to people who say we're moving in the right direction?
Other states, 2/3 of jobs have come back. In California, only 50% of jobs have come back. So I've got a lot of friends who are in business, in retail, restaurant business. They cannot get workers because of all the money that Gavin Newsom is paying people essentially not to work. There are a group of economists at Bank of America. They're not Trump supporters. And they said anybody making about $32,000 or less is better off not working than going to work and having to make the same money that you're making staying home. It's ridiculous what's going on. And the cost of living is going up. Minimum wages are going up. This guy is completely, totally beholden to the unions, especially to the teachers union. And I'm going to turn that around.
Let's talk about the coronavirus itself. This week, Los Angeles County announced that it is bringing back the mask mandate. The state not following suit, at least not yet at the time of this recording. What would you do as governor when it comes to masks?
It's optional. If a business wants to have a policy that you have to wear a mask when you come in, that's up to that business. But I am absolutely not going to tell, let alone order businesses the way this guy is doing, to wear masks. It's also anti-science. The CDC said under certain precautions, schools could have opened up. He shut them down because the teachers were still getting fully paid and they didn't want to go back to work. A lot of black and brown parents went to the streets demanding that the schools open up. And what did the head of the largest affiliate, the United Teachers of Los Angeles, say? It was an effort on the part of white nationalists to impose their white supremacist views on us. It's ridiculous. The step towards leaving poverty to the middle class is getting a competent education, and all too often, we're not getting that. 75% of Black kids in California cannot read at state levels of proficiency. Nearly 50% of all kids cannot. Out of 300,000 public school teachers in California, in any given year, 2.2 are fired. That is ridiculous. Yeah. I'm told that anywhere between 5 and 7% of them are incompetent. And by the way, it also applies to firefighters and cops too. It's almost impossible to fire a public sector employee because of the power of the teachers' union. However you feel about the trial of Derek Chauvin, this guy had around 18 complaints against him. They couldn't fire his butt because of the power of the public sector unions. Until somebody takes that on, we're going to keep having these problems. It's also a budgetary issue. We need money to solve homelessness. We need money to solve the increase of crimes. And with all the money being sucked out by the public sector unions, people retiring on six figures, double dipping, having private sector jobs, all this money is being sucked out of budgets, state and local, and somebody needs to say something about it.
Right. Well, we have seen other governors, like in Florida, Texas, other places, said nobody can do a mask mandate. That has not been something that our governor has done. Is that something you would do if you were governor of California and mask mandates statewide?
I don't think you're characterizing Texas properly. What Texas says is they're not going to mandate it at the state level. But if businesses want to tell people in order to come in here, you have to have a mask, that's up to the individual business. I'm about freedom. Right. And Texas is about freedom. That's what they've done.
All right. Let's talk about the biggest issue for so many people, which is homelessness. What can you realistically get done, given the restraints that you've talked about of the legislature?
What I can realistically get done is to declare a statewide emergency for homelessness. And that way I can suspend CEQA, that the Environmental Act that has been used to stop virtually any kind of project in this state. Because once you get people self-sufficient to the degree that you can, the homeless people, where are they going to live? There are no cheap apartments in California, no cheap low-cost housing, because developers have been disincentivized to do that. And that's because of the Environmental Act called CEQA. I talked to one developer, Alex, who told me 20 years ago he had a 2,000-home project all ready to go, got sued. Cut it down to 1,000, got sued. Cut it down to 500, got sued. Finally, 22 years later, 200 homes were approved. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. That's why we don't have low-cost housing in California, and that's why so many young people are getting out of Dodge and going other places, not realizing the connection between the environmental policies that have been pursued by the last several decades by this left-wing legislature and why they're leaving and going to Tennessee and Florida and Texas.
Obviously, the housing component is one part of solving homelessness, but there's also the mental health and addiction component as well. And there's some people that feel like people need to be forced into treatment. What do you say about that?
Well, some percentage, I don't know what it is. Some people tell me 10%, some people say 15% of the homeless are true schizophrenics, meaning of danger to themselves or to others. The others are people who are addicted to drugs. And of course, they need treatment. But what's the incentive for them to be treated unless there's a possibility, a threat that they can go to jail? We passed Proposition 47 foolishly so that when you steal $950 or less, you're no longer a felon, you committed a misdemeanor, you get a ticket. People like Sheriff Alex Villanueva, whom I recently interviewed, tell me that you've taken the tool away from us. Why should people be incentivized into going into treatment when the alternative is nothing? I can steal, I can support my habit, they can't force me to go to jail. And as a result, a lot of people who are homeless are the ones who are stealing to support their habit without any fear of consequences. You take away consequences, you're gonna have these problems. And you can't spend your way out of this. What Gavin Newsom wants to do is buy more so-called housing for the homeless, by the way, at a greater cost than the private sector could do. But more importantly, you're incentivizing people from the other 49 states to come here. We're treating homelessness with a great deal of compassion, and I get a free house? Come on down. That's what's going on here, and it's madness, Alex, and I'm going to turn it around.
And you would, I assume, try to repeal Prop 47?
Oh, yes.
I would urge
an initiative to appeal Prop 47. I think most of the voters who voted for it now have buyer's remorse, and they want to repeal it as well.
All right, let's talk about your role in this race, because on the one hand, you've got to recall Governor Newsom, which is question one on the ballot, and then question two on the ballot are all of these other people that are running. So we play something called the name game on this show. This is a way to get real quick answers. This is the first word or a real quick response about each of your opponents that comes to mind, okay? Right. So here we go. We begin with the governor of California, Gavin Newsom.
entitled and incompetent.
Former San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner.
He'll be a good addition to my cabinet when I win.
Republican Assemblyman Kevin Kiley.
A very good addition to my cabinet when I win. Maybe I'll try to offer him my job as chief of staff. He's a very, very sharp guy.
YouTube star Kevin Paffrath.
Have no idea who that is. Zero shot.
Okay. Former candidate, now current candidate, John Cox.
The guy that lost by 20 points. Look, and Alex, I know we're playing this kind of game, but the idea is to turn our cannon fire to Gavin Newsom, because if Gavin Newsom is not recalled by 50% plus one, he's not going anywhere. So I'm not going to diss my fellow Republicans. I believe in what Ronald Reagan said, thou shalt not speak negatively about a fellow Republican. The target is Gavin Newsom. All these gentlemen are competent. I think all these gentlemen are passionate. They care about California like I do. Let's get rid of Gavin Newsom, and whoever succeeds him, I will support him or her.
And finally, the last question, though, is about Caitlyn Jenner. We're getting news this week that Caitlyn has left California for several weeks to go compete on Celebrity Big Brother in Australia. What do you make of that?
I have no comment. I knew Caitlyn when Caitlyn was Bruce. He was good to me. We did a speaking engagement one time together. And I don't wish any ill will, again, on any of these Republicans. Anybody, including Caitlyn Jenner, would be better than Gavin Newsom.
Would you want to debate the candidates on TV?
You know, again, I think we ought to turn our cannon fire towards Gavin Newsom. I'd love to debate Gavin Newsom, but he's not going to debate me. After 33 years, when William F. Buckley had a show on Firing Line, Alex, he was asked, why in 30 years has Ted Kennedy never appeared on your show despite your numerous invitations? And Buckley said, and I quote, why does the baloney avoid the grinder? End quote.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about you. Much of your inspiration, Larry, comes from your dad. Let's talk about that a little bit.
But also let's talk about the fact that I cannot win this race because without help from people in California and the other 49 states who recognize that so goes California, so go you. So please go to electelder.com, electelder.com. And also Gavin Newsom can raise and spend unlimited amounts of money. I can't. There are limitations on how much I can raise, how much I can spend. It is completely unfair. Unless I get money from outside and even millionaires and billionaires who might want to set up a PAC along the same philosophy that I have, I cannot win. Now, regarding my father, he came here in 1945. And as I mentioned, he was able to buy a home in South Central Los Angeles. That was a big step up for us. That's now $600,000. Nobody but nobody could duplicate what my dad did as an eighth grade dropout and buy a home in California, have a stay-at-home wife, and raise three boys because the cost of living has gotten completely, totally outrageous. My father came here believing in hard work, accountability, and he told my brothers and me, you cannot control the outcome, but you are 100% in control of the effort. And one of the things I'm going to do is to talk about this ridiculous critical race theory and this crap that they're jamming down the throats of white kids and black kids, teaching the former that they're oppressors and the latter that they're victims. My father never believed that. And if anybody had a right to feel like he was a victim, it was my dad coming from the Jim Crow South, never knew his biological father, thrown out of the house at the age of 13, and he hustled and hustled and worked and believed in the American dream. The Democrats are divisive. Kevin Newsom has described this effort as a collection of white nationalists trying to take me down. Alex, you've known me for a while. I may be a lot of things, but do I look like a white nationalist?
You do not. You also would be the first African-American governor in California history. And I know there are folks on the left that have called you an Uncle Tom before. And I'm wondering how you react when you hear that. Does that sting? And what is your message to people when it comes to race and maybe that role it would play for you as governor?
I wouldn't want anybody to vote for me because I'm black. I wouldn't want anybody to vote against me because I'm black. Vote for me because I'm Larry Elder. I've got common sense. I've got good judgment. I'm a native Californian. I know talented people when I see them, and I'm going to stack my cabinet full of talented people. This race stuff has just got to go. I don't believe that America is a systemically racist country. I don't believe that cops are systemically racist. We do have racists, of course, in America. And if nirvana is the goal, we're always going to be complaining about how much racism in America. Obama got elected in 2008, got a higher percentage of the white vote than did John Kerry 4 years earlier. So don't give me this nonsense about a black person can't be elected. And by the way, Tom Bradley was the first black person to run for governor. He ran twice. First time, I believe he lost by 1%. Second time, he lost by 3 or 4%. And that was way back then. So are you telling me America is more racist now than it was when Bradley ran in the 80s as governor of California? It's ridiculous. Vote for me because I'm talented. Vote for me because I can explain things in a way that Joe and Joan Sixpack can understand. That the connection between all the problems that people are complaining about and bad policies in Sacramento, particularly under the leadership of this particular guy who's entitled, he's elitist, and he's got to go.
All right, and let's wrap things up with a little bit of fun. We play a game called Personal Issues to learn your favorites. This is some cultural stuff, so people get to know you a little bit. Hopefully we'll put 30 seconds up on the clock. And when you're ready, here we go. Larry, who is your favorite sports team?
Dodgers. No. Take it back. Cleveland Indians. The Dodgers were, and then I moved to Cleveland, and okay. I realized how a second-tier city like that has to fight to get good people.
Favorite TV show?
Leave It to Beaver.
Favorite book?
Of Human Bondage, W. Somerset Maugham.
Favorite radio host other than yourself?
Vin Scully.
Favorite musical artist?
Temptations.
Ah, very nice. And by the way, I love Leave It to Beaver. I mean, really, with...
You know what? Every kid wants a father like that and a mother like that. Every kid wants that. Every kid wants that. And I did.
All right. Well, next time you come in studio, Larry, we're going to have you dance to the Temptations. That's reason to come in.
So I can do the Temptations walk.
Yeah, there you go. There it is. Larry Elder, yeah. Nice moves. Thanks so much. Great to see you.
You got it. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate the interview. ElectElder.com.
There you go.
Our thanks to Larry Elder. This isn't the only Issue Is podcast this week. We have another conversation with the United States Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, who came to Hollywood this week. Look for that as well. Hope you subscribe to our show, like our show, tell people about our show, send me messages on social media at Alex Michelson. Thanks so much for listening to The Issue Is. See you next week.